Good morning, I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. We'll be in depth with a novel that examines what it means to mythologize a homeland. First to the political junkie, Ken Rudin. Welcome back, Ken. Good to talk to you again.
Good morning, Carrie.
Questions for Ken, you can tweet them at Carrie, K-E-R-R-I, NPR. Tweeting. Speaking of tweeting, well, Ken, the president-elect has been doing a lot of that, hasn't he?
I don't know what's more astonishing, that we're still talking about him tweeting, or he's still doing it. As far as I know, he won. He was elected on November 8th, and yet he still had this unbelievable tweet yesterday, said that the only reason I lost the popular vote is because of the millions of people who voted illegally. Now, I don't know anybody who's ever could corroborate that other than some alt-right sites, but nobody's saying that, but I guess it just bugs him that Hillary Clinton got more votes than he did.
It's odd and interesting and going to be fascinating for political reporters because he seems to use Twitter as an outlet, right? A place to really vent, which is really high risk for a president.
Well, he's rewriting the rules as he sees them. Nobody's ever done this, and the fact that he's still livid over the fact that he didn't get more votes, and obviously he said that probably the only reason I got fewer votes was because of the millions of people who voted illegally. So here we have Jill Stein, and I we could talk about Jill Stein because that's very interesting what she's doing.
Yeah,
but she's financing a recount in at least one state, perhaps three states. And the Hillary campaign is signing on to it. But if I were Donald Trump and I said that millions of people are voting illegally, wouldn't you want a recount? Wouldn't you want an investigation? I mean, I would want, if they're voting illegally, I would want this to happen, unless everybody voted in their native Russian, and then it would seem kind of weird, though.
So we have a question on Twitter about that recount and Jill Stein. Our listener asks, would the recount headed by Jill Stein actually change anything since Hillary Clinton already conceded?
Concession, as President Al Gore will tell you, concession means absolutely nothing. Al Gore obviously, remember, conceded in 2000, then he unconceded when they decided to have a partial recount in Florida. Then he ultimately conceded for the second time late in December and said that that's it. A concession means absolutely nothing legally. Now, of course, Jill Stein is not heading up the recount. She is asking for donations to finance the recount. And at least in Wisconsin, it's the Wisconsin Election Commission that is doing this recount.
Right.
And Jill Stein has gotten her paperwork in order to get the Wisconsin recount started. It's interesting. Donald Trump won Wisconsin by 22,000 votes.
That's unreal.
Jill Stein.
I know.
Jill Stein got 33,000
votes. I know.
Wisconsin.
I mean, this
so
is.
Jill Stein is what? She's outraged that she cost Hillary Clinton the election.
I mean,
I don't think that's really fair to say, but it's just strange that Jill Stein is doing this. But here's the other thing. The deadline for the Michigan recount is today. It's Wednesday. The deadline for Pennsylvania, which is very complicated paperwork, that deadline is today. So it may only be in Wisconsin. And let's be honest here, no recount in history has ever turned around enough votes to change the outcome the way that this Stein / Hillary Clinton effort is attempting this time.
Yeah, Ken, this is the other thing that's weird about Michigan, and I hear what you're saying about the deadlines here. But Jill Stein, I think, got 50-something thousand votes.
50,000 in Michigan, right.
Okay, and didn't Hillary Clinton lose Michigan to Trump by
10,000?
Okay, so, I suppose we could take Jill Stein at face value when she says, I am just interested in the integrity of the process and some questions have been raised. No, you don't buy that, huh?
Well, yes. So what's strange about it is at first Jill Stein says, please send me $2 million because I need to do a recount. I said, no, I need $4 million. Now I need $7 million. Why does she need all this money and why Jill Stein? I mean, does that mean if what happens if they recount it and Jill Stein actually wins? Boy, that would be something, huh? No, I mean, I don't understand what she's doing because she was reviled by Hillary Clinton supporters all this time for running as a Hillary is not a true progressive candidate. And she, I mean, look, 33, she got 50,000 votes in Michigan and Trump won it by 10,000. You could say, as many Gore people people said about Ralph Nader in Florida, that Al Gore lost Florida by 534 votes, and Ralph Nader got 97,000 total. You think maybe he may have cost in the state? So it's like having Ralph Nader recount the 2000 election. It just doesn't make sense to me.
I know, but here's the thing that I always think about the Gore situation. If Gore had won his home state of Tennessee,
oh yes, of course.
I mean, that's why those. And I don't know, did Hillary Clinton win Arkansas or not? I can't remember.
This time,
Ken, your phone cut out just as
not.
You said that. No, okay. So, and that's, you know, presumably her home state for,
you know,
a long
of course,
time.
Arkansas in 2016 is far different than the Arkansas of the old days. I mean, Arkansas didn't even elect its first Republican senator until 1996. They didn't vote Republican back in the day. But again, had Al Gore won Tennessee, had Al Gore won Arkansas, had Al Gore won New Hampshire in 2000, he would have been elected and not George W. Bush. So, you know, woulda, shoulda, couldas are great in politics, but right now these are the closest states. And what's interesting is that Trump also tweeted that there was serious voter fraud in Virginia, New Hampshire, and California. Guess what? Guess who lost all three of those states?
I know. Okay, here's the thing, and I know I'm going to get a bunch of angry tweets from people that support the recount and Hillary Clinton and all that. But I mean, I think the concern about this is it feeds this legitimacy narrative about Donald Trump. I know that was kind of inevitable, but there's hashtags, not my president, and others. And this is just, I mean, this really contributes to yet more corrosive divisiveness, Ken.
It absolutely does. And of course, people will accuse Hillary Clinton and the left of being hypocritical by saying, well, you know, we said we would agree to this election results and now we're fighting it. But I mean, Donald Trump also said that I'm not going to accept these results unless I win. So you kind of think, look, Hillary Clinton did not start this. Jill Stein did start it. Hillary Clinton was not going to go along with this. They were accepting the results. But as one of their campaign officials said a day or so ago, I said, look, we owe it to our supporters to make sure the vote was counted correctly, you know, once and for all. But Trump is, as always, he's livid. And, you know, I mean, all the other stuff that Donald Trump is doing is not getting the same attention. You know, the $25 million Trump University settlement, the fact that he's naming his 10-year-old son Barron as Secretary of State, that's not getting reported at all. Of course, I just made that up. But I'm just saying there's so many things that Trump is doing that people are not paying attention to, but they love his tweets and they're obsessed with them.
The political junkie is with us, if you can't tell, if you're tuned in. And if you have a question for him, you can tweet me at Kerry, KerriMPR. Ken, are you amazed at the way this Secretary of State thing between Mitt Romney and Rudy Giuliani is playing out on Twitter? And what Kellyanne Conway was saying yesterday on the Sunday shows.
I mean, for those who don't know this, so here it is. So Mitt Romney met with Donald Trump 2 weeks ago, ostensibly to congratulate him and to talk about the possibility of becoming Secretary of State. It's clear that Trump said, look, I mean, I don't know what I believe anymore. To be honest, the thought of Trump offering Romney, who dismissed him and denigrated him throughout the whole campaign, the thought of Trump offering Romney the position of Secretary of State is just so antithetical. I mean, I don't buy it for a second. But anyway, even if it's true, the fact that Trump is considering Romney, and then you have Kellyanne Conway, his campaign manager, go on the Sunday talk show and says, well, you know, so many Trump people would be so upset because Romney, you know, was out to battle us throughout the whole campaign. He's no loyalist. So what kind of a way is that to settle? You know, Trump loves to just sit back and let feud start.
Apparently so.
I think he had a TV show about that. I don't remember. There's some TV show like The Apprentice.
That was like The Essence of The Apprentice, right?
And then you have Rudy Giuliani, who desperately wants to be Secretary of State, who's campaigning for it. And if there's one thing that Donald Trump can't stand is somebody getting more attention than he.
Welcome, so,
you know,
Chris Christie.
I don't think Rudy
Giuliani's
a choice either. Given also his conflicts of interest, Rudy Giuliani's conflict of interest with foreign governments. But that doesn't matter because Trump has conflicts of interest. Are we making this stuff up?
Yeah, those conflicts of interest. I just asked our last guest at 9 about whether they will be so multitudinous and so distracting that he is not going to be able to maximize that, you know, that kind of honeymoon period that he may have for the first, I don't know, 6 months or even a year.
I don't think he needs a honeymoon period. I don't think he cares about a honeymoon period. I think if he can make, if he can have a coexisting presidency and business enterprise going at the same time, I think that's what he wants. And according to everything I've seen, according to every legal expert I've heard or listened to, they say that while there are such restrictions in the books against members of Congress, there's no such thing as that with a president, or at least we've never seen one before. I remember Jimmy Carter selling his peanut business, or at least putting it in as a blind trust, but putting Trump Industries in the hands of Ivanka and Eric Jr. or Donald Jr. and Eric, that's hardly a blind trust.
Mm. So here's your mystery sound of the weekend, because I know you were wondering what happened to it, weren't you? Here it comes.
And Trump's front runner to lead the Department of Homeland Security appears to be Kansas Secretary of State and middle school football coach who's not allowed on the field anymore, Chris Kobach. When Kobach met with Trump, something came prepared with a strategic plan for the first 365 days. And by something tells me, I mean this picture where he's clearly holding his strategic plan for the first 365 days. Well, that's Homeland Security. The only way those plans could be safer is if he stored them on his private email server.
Ken, who is that, and who is he talking about?
Oh, I don't know. Is it Jimmy Kimmel?
Stephen Colbert.
Oh, Colbert. Yeah. One thing, I don't think anything's funny anymore. And I mean, I've spent my whole life enjoying politics, left or right, Democrat or Republican. I've really just enjoyed this so much. I am just so weary. I mean, I was just hoping to just, you know, stuff myself with, you know, I mean, not stuff the ballots like they are doing in Virginia, New Hampshire, and California, but stuff myself on this holiday weekend that I would just be so unconscious for the next 4 years. This is just nothing funny. I don't know why it's not funny. And, of course, I mean, the hate and the anger I'm seeing from both sides on social media, including from my friends who would just say either, you know, I'm a Hillary acolyte or, you know, or
Ken, are you saying directed at you or?
Yeah, directed at me.
Yeah.
Or I'm just, you know, a stooge. And both sides are just yelling at me because I'm not enjoying this.
I have to tell you, the tone on Twitter, and I think I saw it turn like the last 3 months of the campaign, and it hasn't changed, has been so just downright negative and mean.
Nasty.
Right. I mean, I just got a tweet from somebody who said, let's see, here's Rob. Come on, don't play stupid. This is to me. Jill Stein is appealing to fairness and a sense of guilt, but this is vindication. You know, people... Here's Alex. I agree. The recount is divisive, but with alt-right on the rise, at what point do we stop trying to make peace and take a stand? Here's Jane. Would you please replace this Ken with someone who knows something? Hillary did not sign on.
That was from me.
That's to you. That's not from you.
No, I mean, I'd love to pursue that last comment, but look, sure, they have a right to do a recount. I do remember Richard Nixon in 1960 saying that I probably have a reason to contest the elections in Illinois and Hawaii and some other states that were very, very close, but I won't do it to split the country. I think, look, I think what Donald Trump has done and what he says and what he's planning to do is just unprecedented in politics. And I think, look, I understand that any effort to maybe not make it a done deal is worth talking about. Just like the Electoral College, which meets on December 19th, there's a serious effort by one of these groups, change.org, saying they want to convince all these Trump electors to vote for Hillary Clinton because they're free to do so. I mean, the thought of that happening is just beyond belief. But look, they should try everything they can. But You know, as Barack Obama said over and over again, elections have consequences. And there are a lot of Hillary people saying before the election, remember, elections have consequences. And you know, to battle it now, it just feels a little bit too late to me. I mean, maybe there are people out there who say, I don't know what I'm talking about. I just know that no recount has ever overturned an election like this. I mean, if it's a handful of votes, but 70,000 votes in Pennsylvania, 22,000 votes in Wisconsin, is it doable? Is it possible? I guess. I mean, Trump is possible, so anything's possible. But do I think it's going to happen? I don't.
New Year's resolution, be nicer to the political junkie on Twitter, okay?
No. I don't think people are mean to me. I don't take it personally.
I do.
Well, I don't, because the emotions out there are so raw. The fact that you had a candidate talking about putting his opponent in jail, this is not Batista or Castro we're talking about. We're talking about Donald Trump. So there are a lot of things out there that are just, you know, just mind-boggling. And November 8th, as far as I can see, November 8th has not solved anything or settled anything.
Yeah. So, Ken, I'll talk to you next Monday.
Another highlight, uplifting conversation. Thanks, Carrie.
Ken Rudin, the political junkie, joins us Mondays at 10.